today I want to go back to salvation. And the beginning of the year, I think it's a really good time to make sure that we understand salvation and whether we are saved or not. And when I say saved, I don't mean once saved, always saved. I mean, are you in a position where if you were to die, you would be saved? Okay? So, there was an old mountain man that had lived a full life, but not exactly a saint's life. And he was on his bed dying, and he called his wife and he said, "Sarah, come here." Sarah came and he said, "I want you to go to the fireplace and count up three of the rocks on the left-hand side above the hearth and bring me what you find behind the rock." So Sarah goes and she pulls out the rock, you know, and she reaches back in there and she manages to get out this big mason jar stuffed full of money. And she brings it back and she says, "Here." And the mountain man said, "Okay, Sarah, I'm going to take this money with me when I go to heaven. And so I want you to put this in the attic window, and when I go up, I'll snag it and go on up." So Sarah said, "Okay." So she went up to the attic and she put this jar in the window. And then the old man died that night, and in all the rush of the funeral and everything, Sarah forgot about the jar until 2-3 days later. She said, I wonder if that jar is up there. She went up to the attic, and sure enough, here is the jar of money. And she picked it up and looked at it, and she said, "I knew I should have put that in the basement." But how many of us can absolutely know that we are saved? And this is going to be a quiz, okay? A show of hands, how many know if you were to, God forbid, die today, would you be saved? Wow, that's good. How many don't know? Yeah, let's go home. No, you don't get out of it that easy. There's this Barna research. They polled thousands of Americans. And here's what they came up with regarding salvation. 56% say that a person can earn their way into heaven by doing good works. This is here in America. This isn't that's Buddhist thinking, but 56%, over half, say that you can earn your way into heaven. 44% say that if you do not consciously accept Christ as your Savior, you will burn in hell. Another 44% said, "All people experience the same outcome after they die, regardless of their religious beliefs." So it doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Buddhist, whatever, you're going to, same thing when you die. 39% said it doesn't matter what faith that you embrace because they all teach the same thing. So it seems that, at least in America in general, there's some confusion about salvation and what that means. You know, there's lots of things in the world that are not black and white, but there is one thing, and I believe that salvation can be very black and white because God made it that way on purpose. So, can a good person earn their way to heaven? If you got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Romans. We're going to stay for a little bit in Romans. And Romans 6:23. And you probably already know it. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is" what? Death. "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Okay, if I earn something, can that be called a gift? Isn't a gift, by definition, has to be something that is given and not earned? right? So, you know, usually we call wages as you earn something, that's your pay, that's your wages. But a gift is something that is outside of that. It's just something that's given free. So somebody might say, well, that's easy. I understand it's a gift, but guess what? I haven't sinned, so I don't have a problem. Just keep your finger right there. Hey, there's people that actually believe that. I have met a few. Very different kind of people. Put it that way. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we what? Deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So we know everyone has sin. Back to Romans, if you left your finger there. Romans 3. Back up a few verses. And it is for how many have sinned? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So look at it this way. Let's get really practical. I live in Eton, and suppose I go down to the MAPCO and I take some crackers and some candy and stuff, and I stuff it in my pocket, and I try to walk out of the door without paying for it, and I get arrested, I get caught, I brought before the judge, and the judge says, sir, why did you steal? And I said, well, I don't know, it just happened, I just feel like stealing. And but Your Honor, I pay my taxes here. And Your Honor, I pick up trash alongside the road in Eton, and I help the poor and the homeless. So, you know, I'm a really good citizen. I'm a lot better than some other people around here in Eton, which isn't really hard to do. But, no, I'm just kidding. But does that, and the judge says, well, sir, so what? I'm glad you're happy, and I'm glad you're, you know, do all these good things, but that doesn't have anything to do with you stealing those stuff. You have to pay the penalty for that. Have we all sinned? We've determined that we've all sinned, and we have to pay the penalty. But what has happened? Christ has paid the penalty for us. And it doesn't matter if I say, hey, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this. To do it. You're a sinner and you are condemned, and the only way you can get out of that is if someone else pays your penalty. God has paid our penalty. Number two, okay. If a person doesn't consciously accept Christ as their Savior, will they die? If you say, raise your hand if you say yes. Will they be lost? If they don't consciously accept Christ as their Savior, will they be lost, burn up in hell? Lost. I don't see any hands at all. Is that true? Or how many say no? Okay, it's sort of a trick question. I'll buy that. But nobody says yes.
There's a difference between not consciously accepting it and
rejecting it. We might have to argue one Sabbath afternoon on that one. Say this together, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do we have everlasting life? We believe Jesus. Okay. Flip over back to Acts chapter 9. And if you haven't, sorry, Acts 16:9. If you haven't been, we've been going through this at our Bible studies on Wednesday night, and there's some really good stuff in Acts. I'm really enjoying it. Acts 16, and we just studied this not that long ago. Paul and Silas had been arrested. They were thrown in jail, in the inner jail. Their feet were in stocks. Their back was all beat up. And they were doing what? Singing at midnight. And an earthquake suddenly came, and all the doors swung open. The jailer comes rushing out and about ready to kill himself because he would be held accountable for those prisoners if they escaped. And Paul said, no, 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 no. And then verse 29, then the jailer called for a light, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Verse 30, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? 31, so they said, Paul and Silas said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Doesn't that sound like you have to believe before God can give you that son, have his son take the penalty for your sins? In 1830, there was a man, George Wilson, who killed a man while he was robbing a mail. And he was caught, and he was tried, and he was sentenced to be hanged. Back in 1830, they did hanging. The president then was Andrew Jackson, and he sent a pardon for George Wilson. I'm not sure why, but he wanted him pardoned. So, but George did a very funny thing in that he refused the pardon. Well, that threw the legal system into an uproar because nobody knew what to do. And so they went through different courts, and it kept working its way up, and it wound up at the Supreme Court. And Chief Justice Marshall wrote the opinion on it, and here's what he said. A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. So it's just a piece of paper, and until you accept a piece of paper, it's just a piece of paper. It doesn't do anything until you accept it. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged, and he was. So, you know, I kind of suspect that he probably wanted to pay for his sin. But so the death of Christ on the cross is a pardon that God has sent. But before it becomes a pardon, what do we have to do? We've got to accept it. Otherwise, it's not a pardon. Now, you might say, Tim, that's not very fair. I know my brother-in-law is over there steaming a little bit. Why would God require me to ask for eternal life? After all, you know, God is a fair God. Well, here's what Charles said, who is a very famous pastor and evangelist. Some think it hard that there should be nothing for them but ruin if they will not believe in Jesus Christ. But if you think for a minute, you will see that it is just and reasonable. I suppose there is no way for a man to keep his strength up except by eating. If you were to say, I'm not going to eat again, it's a nasty habit, I don't like it, and you don't eat anymore. You might travel in all kinds of lands if you live that long, but you would most certainly find that no climate, no exercise would avail to keep you alive if you refused food. Would you then complain, it's hard that I should die because I don't believe in eating? That's not fair. It is not an unjust thing that if you're so foolish as not to eat, you must die. It is precisely so with believing. Believe and thou art saved. If you won't believe, it is no hard thing that thou shouldst be lost. It would be strange indeed if it were not the case. And the last text on this, John 3:36. You don't have to agree with me. It's okay. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has what? Everlasting life. He who does not believe on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I believe that God has a free gift, but we are required to accept it. If you know about it. I personally believe God gives everybody, there comes a time in everyone's life who God brings into everyone's life, let's put it that way, a decision that they have to make. Yeah. That's right. I've seen people in the jungle know what something is right or wrong. They're not going to know all the doctrines, but they're going to make a decision for or against what they know. And that's what God, that's what I think that the Bible teaches here. That is a requirement, yes. Okay, number three. Does everyone have the same outcome when they die? Yes, raise your hand. No, raise your hand. 50-50, okay. Okay. It is a trick question. I did it on purpose. Everyone goes to sleep in the grave, so yes, everyone has that. But in the judgment day, is everyone going to be saved or everyone going to burn? No. Yes. Correct. We just read, did we not? Donnie just read where God, an example of the judgment day, he's separating the sheep from the goats, which means the sheep are, you know, the good, those that God has, that have accepted God. And then we have the goats who have refused. And even the goats, did you notice the goats said, we thought we were, you know, we were doing good things. We were, you know, casting out demons, doing all kinds of things. But God says, no, I don't know you. Another one that's good, Matthew 7:21. I like a little easier to understand. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who what? Does the will of my Father in heaven. So we're bringing something else. It takes a little bit more than just to say, yes, okay, I will accept Jesus' sacrifice. So I'm saved. But what does this say? He has to do the will of the Father in heaven. 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So we do have to do the will of God if we want to be saved. It doesn't save us, but we have to do the will of God. What does John say? If you love me, keep my commandments. So is everyone going to have the same outcome in the judgment day? No. You're going to have sheep, you're going to have goats, you're going to have those that have accepted Christ and those that haven't, and maybe you're going to have some that accepted Christ but then didn't do his will. Personally, I think if you're not doing God's will, you really haven't accepted Christ as your Savior and wanting to do what he asked you to do. Okay, and here's the most important one, and this is the heart. If I don't feel like I'm saved, will I be saved? Yes. So if I don't feel like I'm saved, I won't be saved, or no? No knows. Don't have it, but you just said, if I don't feel like I'm saved, if I don't feel I'm saved, will I be saved? And you said yes. Okay, I didn't phrase it very good. That's not supposed to be a trick question. If I am saved, if I don't feel saved, will I be saved? That's what I'm trying to get at. Yes or no? Okay. Emotions are fickle things, guys, and we all know that. And Jesus doesn't work by fickleness or fickle, what? Or feelings, yes. Yeah, I think that might be the case. I think we should base our decision, though, on the word of God. And one of my most favorite ones is 1 John 5. If you haven't looked up any of the others, please look up this one. 1 John 5, 8, no, 13. 1 John 5, 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might feel like you have eternal life. Oh, you guys actually did read it. That you might know that you have eternal life. There's no dilly-dallying there. If you believe on Christ, these things I have written to those of you who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know that you have eternal life. There's no fickleness about that, is there? No, there's no feeling about there. I think God wants us to know 100% right now we are saved. In the judgment, we are saved. We don't have to go through life wondering. And I gotta admit, many times I did wonder whether I would be saved or not. But God wants us to be absolutely certain. There is no doubt about it. If we believe in Christ, we will be saved. You can be assured of your salvation right now. There is a man came to Dwight L. Moody, and he was worried because he didn't feel like he was saved. And Moody asked him, was Noah saved in the ark? And the guy says, yeah, sure. Well, what made him safe? Was it his feeling or was it the ark? And the guy goes, obviously it's the ark that saved him. It wasn't his feeling. The same thing is true. How foolish I've been. It's not my feeling. It is Christ who saved me. So don't worry. Satan really likes to get us down, does he not? He gets us down and depressed, and we start wondering if maybe we don't even have salvation, and maybe we should just give up the whole thing. But if we look at the Word of God, it says, no, you can be absolutely certain of your eternal salvation. And we can base our whole life on that, can we not? Yeah, we can base our whole life on God's Word. Okay, here's the last one, short quiz. What if I die with an unconfessed sin? Will I be saved? How many say yes? Okay. How many say no? Yeah, a couple. Yeah. When I was 10 or 11, I had a difficult childhood, as my sister can attest to. I was into trouble all the time. And I remember there was a pilgrim. I was had to be in a pilgrim play, you know, the whole cardboard hat. And I whittled out this, I used my dad's jigsaw and cut out a wooden gun. And I, you know, rounded it over and painted it up and everything. And it was a real hit. And I had fun after the play playing with this gun. And one rainy Sunday, kind of like this, I thought, you know, I could really scare my dad with this thing. And so I mounted it about eye level at my door in my bedroom. And I went out to the kitchen and I got a bunch of cookie sheets and spread them all over the metal cookie sheets that spread on the wood floor. And then I took a bunch of firecrackers and put there. And then I called my dad, and I could hear where, you know, when he walks down the hallway, and I lit it just right. So he opened the door, bam! And he was very startled. He fell backwards over the dining room chair. And, of course, Mom just went ballistic. And she was she accused me of trying to burn the house down. And I said, Mom, that's why I have these cookie sheets all over the floor. There's no fire here. Well, I mean, there was fire on the cookie sheets. My behinder got it probably as warm as those firecrackers. And it wasn't just my dad that I would bug. I remember one time I had about 20 feet of wire, and I hooked it to the spark plug of my lawnmower and then to the metal door knob, and then I hollered at her, started the mower, hollered at her, and she got shocked. And my sister came into it too. I carefully aimed the four floodlights on the corners of our house to, when she came back from a date and she was stealing kisses in the back, suddenly she was illuminated. So, you know, I said, Dad, you know, I got a real problem here. I can't remember all these sins. And what happens when I get to the judgment and I've had some sins that I haven't asked forgiveness? Am I going to be saved? And Dad says, God knows me. He knows me. Look at Psalms 139:4. Psalm 139:4 says, for there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. There is nothing that you can say that God doesn't already know about or knows. Back to Luke 12. Luke 12 and verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered? Do not fear, therefore, then you are of more value than many sparrows. God knows every word you're going to say. He knows even how many hairs you've lost this morning. You know, he knows all about us. And read one more, John 10. 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by them. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So God knows us. He knows what sin you have. And he knows the heart, and you're trying to, you're growing, you know, you sin, you ask for forgiveness. He knows all about that. And he's also knowing, Tim, is your life kind of You should be heading upwards, or is my life heading down? Am I slowly separating myself from God, or am I growing closer and closer to God? He knows that. Now, be careful with this statement, because somebody's going to just kill me. But I believe God is more interested in the trend of our lives than he is in individual sins. I'm not saying that he approves of sin, but he is more interested in if you are growing and in the trend of your life than the individual sins. If I sin and go out of here and am killed, but my life is one of growing closer and closer, guess what? God knows that I would ask for forgiveness of that sin. That he knows that, and it's accounted, it is forgiven, even though I have not physically asked him for forgiveness before I died. Yes, yes. And that's what my dad explained. Look, Tim, it's the trend of your life. It's not the individual sin. Yes, you need to take care of those sins, but it's the trend that's important. Corky gave us John a CD of Mark Lowry. I don't know if he's still around, but he has a song on there that really hit home for me. It's that the saints are just sinners who fall down like a sinner does, but do what? Get back up. The saints are just sinners who fall down and get back up. The sinner doesn't get back up. The saint gets down, gets up, sins, falls down, gets back up, says, Lord, I'm going to try harder, falls down, gets back up. And he keeps doing that. God knows all of us are sinners. There is nothing we can do about it because we live in a sinful world. What we can do about it is get back up. Yes, right? Thanks. So, in summary, can a good person earn their way to heaven? No. If a person doesn't accept Christ as his Savior, will he perish? Yes. Does everyone have the same outcome after they die or in the judgment day? No. Can I be saved even if I don't feel like I'm saved? Yes. And lastly, if I die with an unconfessed sin, am I going to go to heaven or am I condemned forever? And that depends on if the trend of my life is going up and closer to Christ, then yes, I will go to heaven. The Bible says we can know our salvation. It is sure. Lastly, one more, John 5:23. I guess I take after Daddy. He likes a lot of texts. Well, I have Daddy's genes, so I guess that's it. John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. We can know that we have eternal life right now if we believe and do the will of God.